from 1 Kings chapter 18, and I want to read verse 26. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. I want you to remember this part of the verse. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 1 for another verse. Hebrews chapter 1, please. Verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. The marginal reference of your Bible tells us it's literally in Son. The Lord Jesus is the message. The Lord Jesus is the Word of God. I want tonight, just for a few minutes, to contrast these two portions of the Word of God. I want to remind you that the God of heaven all through the ages has spoken to men. And say to you tonight who may be in this audience and you never have been saved, you never have been born again, that you must hear the voice of God if you're ever going to be a Christian. You must hear the Lord God of heaven speaking to you as an individual. You must hear his voice say to you, Johnny or Mary or whatever your name may be, you need my Son as Savior. You are lost. You're a guilty sinner. You've sinned against me. You are in Adam's family. And if you die as you are, you will be in hell, Mary, or you will be in hell, Bobby, or whatever your name is. God has to speak to you before you're ever going to turn to him. And I think this, and I believe in all my heart, with all my heart, this is the key of God's dealings with human beings. He does not deal with large numbers of people together. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe the Lord could save hundreds of people in one gospel service. But in that gospel meeting, he speaks to each individual man, woman, boy, or girl as an individual. And that individual, though he were the only one who would turn to Christ that night, would say, the Lord spoke to me. I want you to notice that Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ our Lord is the message. In these last days, he has spoken to us in Son. His Son is the message. He is the message of heaven to you and to me. Let me ask you, have you ever listened to God? I know a man, I read of him, who many, many years ago stood on the desert sands beside some sheep. He had run away from a place because he killed a man, and there, all alone with the sheep and the desert sand and probably some sagebrush, he saw all of a sudden a piece of this brush, of this bush, begin to burn. He drew aside to look at this marvelous sight, and as he watched it burn, he discovered something. He wasn't alone. God was there. And the God of heaven said to him, Moses, Moses, and gave him a message that man never forgot. Let me say to you tonight, my friend, this evening in this building, you need to hear God. We all need to hear the voice of the God of heaven through his word. He wants to talk to you. There may be a young man in our company tonight, and you want to be saved. You have come to this meeting tonight because you know the gospel will be preached. You know you can be saved tonight. and you are thinking about your soul, and the Spirit of God has directed you here. Now God wants to talk to you, my young friend, and the God of heaven will speak to you as no man has ever spoken to you. The God of heaven will be very plain to you. You need to be saved, or you're going to hell. I'm not asking you, do you believe in it? You know there's a place of punishment. I'm not asking you tonight, do you believe that the Lord Jesus died for you? For you know He did on the cross of Calvary. But you want to really know that your sins are forgiven and that Jesus Christ the Lord is your Savior. Then the Spirit of God is going to have to do the work in your heart, and God's going to have to talk to you tonight. And maybe He's doing that. I hope He is. And maybe He's saying to you what He said to Moses long ago. He's calling you by name and He's saying, Moses, Moses, take your shoes off your feet. You're on hallowed ground. I'm talking to you. I'm the God of heaven, said Jehovah. And Moses stood that day when he discovered he wasn't alone but in the presence of God. And he watched the bush burn. And I'm sure fear rose in his heart as he looked at it, for it didn't burn up. And he listened to God talking to him, and he answered God, and God spoke to him again, and he answered the Lord again, and he carried on a conversation in a wilderness, in a desert place, with the God of heaven. And you're in a wilderness tonight. And you can carry on a conversation while this meeting's going on with your God. And the God of heaven wants to talk to you. There may be a person in our audience tonight, and you're older. You're in this service because you were invited to come. And you never intended talking to God. But God has you here, and He wants to speak to you. He has something to tell you, my friend. He wants to tell you that the message from heaven is in His Son. And that if you won't listen to the Word of God and learn of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never get the message. He's saying to you tonight from the Word of God that one day long ago, as I read to you from 1 Kings, people just like yourself who didn't think seriously of the God of heaven, but who had all their own idea of what were gods and who were gods, stood one day around the fire, put a bullock upon an altar, and then cried out for their God, the God of Baal, who isn't a God at all, to come down and burn that sacrifice. And I read to you the words of God from the First Kings chapter 18. But there was no voice. I take you tonight to Calvary. I remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and loved me, hung one day at Calvary's cross. He hung on the cross of Calvary. The world didn't want Him, and it seems as though heaven doesn't want Him, for He's hanging now to pay, being crucified to pay our debt. And the darkness comes over the place called Calvary. And the Savior hangs all alone in the darkness. And He cries, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? There is no voice now. He's alone. He's in the darkness because He's paying the penalty for you and for me. There's no answer now. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? I thirst. And then it is finished. And into Thy hands I commend my spirit. The heavens are dark. The God of heaven isn't answering. And the Father who loved His Son has turned His back upon Him. And now is the very judging God of heaven. He turns away from Calvary, and Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord, hangs all alone. There's no answer from heaven. Because someone had to pay for Bill Morgan's sins. And I want to say to you tonight, If you want to think of something that's really dreadful, you think of yourself, a precious soul, walking out on the streets of Omaha and being sent into eternity in an accident, or going to a hospital this week and hearing a doctor say there's no hope, and your little time on earth is ended, and as you go out into eternity without a Savior, you look toward the heavens to a God you don't know, to a Savior you've never trusted. You cry out to God, and there's no answer. I stood beside a man in our little hospital in Atlantic not too long ago who was dying. One of the things he said that I'll never forget, trying to tell him how the Lord loved him and died for him, one of the younger brethren of our assembly had been there. Mr. Onan had taken him a Bible. I left the New Testament on the dresser knowing that he would pick it up. I found it after he was taken out of the room in the drawer. It was still there. Mr. Onan came in one night and found him reading the New Testament. One of the things he said to Brother Onan, and he said to me, I'll never forget, is, you men talk about the Lord as though you talk to him. You talk about him as though he were a friend. He said, I talk to the Lord. I try to pray. But there's no answer. I want to say to you tonight, you can call upon the Lord for salvation and he'll hear your cry. But up until this moment, you've gone through all the ritual of a religion. You've gone through all the things that men and women do in our lifetime, and still heaven is closed to you, and the God of heaven doesn't seem to be your Father. You don't seem to know him. You're not interested. You can't talk to him. And the Lord Jesus isn't your Savior. And let me tell you, there is nothing more dreadful than to go into eternity. And in a lost eternity to know never again will you communicate with heaven. Never again will you have an opportunity to say, oh God, save me. Lord, hear my cry. Lord, answer me. Because there'll be no answer. And the words that were penned to the people who put their trust in Baal, who was no God, will be true of you. The word of God says, for there was no voice, neither did he answer them. The prophet Elijah said, come on, you Israelites, you people of God, gather round. Put the bullock on the altar and pour the water on it and get it good and wet. And then he said, bring some more water and some more and get it real wet and fill the trough with water all around and the whole thing is soaked. And then they stood back, the Israelite and the non-Israelite alike, the idolater and the one who believed in God, Jehovah, stood shoulder to shoulder. And they waited. And all of a sudden the God of heaven sent down fire and burned the altar and burned the sacrifice and dried up all the water and scorched the ground. The God of heaven spoke. And I want to say to you tonight, the God that talked to Moses from the burning bush, the God that spoke to those who stood around the altar in 1 Kings 18 is here tonight. He wants to talk to you. Possibly already through circumstances you've heard his voice. And you've listened to him in a little measure and you have a desire in your heart now to be a Christian. You're going to come home tonight. You're going to turn to the Lord Jesus in all your sin. You're going to put your trust in the only one that can save you. Tonight is going to be the birth night. This is going to be your birthplace. You're going to come to the Lord. And I want to ask you to listen for a few minutes as the Lord talks to you. The Lord Jesus came into the world in the New Testament, in the Gospels, as a little baby. You see, 400 years between the Old and New Testament, the heavens are closed. 400 years of silence. And God isn't speaking to the people on earth now. The Old Testament has closed, and these are the ends of the writings of our Bible. And Israel waits, and they wait, and a generation passes, and another generation. 400 years of silence, and then God talked to them again. This time it wasn't an army or a general in an army or soldiers or trumpets or bands, but a little baby cried. To me, this is the most wonderful thing that I can think of in the Word of God concerning the birth of our Lord. A voice is heard. The God of heaven is speaking through a little child. Then that child grew and went into a temple, and he sat with the doctors of philosophy. We've been hearing about education tonight, and as a young lad, he sat with them there in the temple, and the doctors of the law that knew the Word of God, they're after asking him questions, and there's a voice heard. This man who is the very Son of God, though a young man, a youth, is sitting among them, and his voice is heard. And the voice of heaven is heard that day as he asks them questions, as he answers them. Here is the message from heaven. This is the Word of God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, let me say to you tonight that the Spirit of God tonight, as he delves into your conscience and into your heart, and he stirs you, he's saying to you tonight, haven't you heard this one? Remember when in Sunday school you learned the verse you've heard quoted tonight, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He talked to you. He asked you to come. As a little boy or a little girl, your heart was soft, and you wanted to turn to the Lord Jesus, but you didn't trust him. Then you went to a gospel meeting when you grew a little older, and you listened to the Word of God again, and that night you felt compelled to stay behind. You listened to the Christians sing that closing hymn, and your heart was stirred, and you said, this is it, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm going to trust the Lord tonight. I hear the voice of God in this hymn, almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive, now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way, some more convenient day on thee I'll call. God talked to you. You at home, you couldn't sleep that night, because God was speaking to him. Is there a little boy in this company? God is talking to you. You want to be saved more than anything else in the world. There is nothing that would put a capstone on this conference as much as a little boy turning to Christ. There's nothing that would bring joy to the hearts of God's people and the angels in the presence of God in heaven, and the whole church of God, whether on earth or in glory, then you, my friend, you mothers or your dads who are here, and you've never been saved, to come just as you are tonight and say, Lord, I hear your voice again. You're calling me, and the Spirit of God is probing my conscience, and I know I'm lost, and I know I've never been saved, and I'm going to come tonight. I hope the Lord is speaking to you, and I hope your ear is open to hear his cry, and I hope as he calls you, as you hear his call, you'll turn to him and you'll trust him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your intellect. You'll say, Lord Jesus, you loved me, you died for me, you're calling me, and Lord, I'll come tonight. Tonight I'll come. I want you for my Savior, and he'll be your Savior. He'll come into that life. He'll come into your heart, and he'll forgive you all your sin, and he'll redeem you from the penalty of your sin, a lost eternity, and he'll love you, and he'll walk with you, and he'll care for you. Someone has asked me not too long ago, Mr. McGee, to be specific. He said, Bill, when you're speaking to the young people and the children today, especially the young men who are old enough to go into the service, does your mind ever go back to the Navy? And I want in the closing moments of this meeting to tell you young folk who maybe have never heard that God spoke to me. God spoke to me as a young Christian. He changed my life. He called me in a very unusual way that I'll never forget as long as I live. And I would say to you young believers tonight, though you know the Lord as your Savior, though you've listened to His voice in salvation, God at this conference wants to speak to you young people. He wants to call you. He wants you to listen to Him. A group of sailors stood on the deck of a ship outside of the harbor in Okinawa. The evening was very calm. It was very still. A captain came out on the ship and stood up on the bridge, and he called to the men. He said, "Gather around, men. We've had a message, and I want to give you that message." It was very warm. It was very calm. The war had ended. The Japanese had surrendered. The battleships that had fired over the tankers and shook them until they seemed as though they were going to fall to pieces had all stopped. No more guns, just a few on the island, just a few as the Japanese came out of the caves and the Marines shot them as they came out to find food. Very little noise. We were all so happy we were going home. And the captain said, "Men, we've just received a message. The typhoon is headed for Japan. It's coming from the island of Okinawa, and we're right here in the harbor. And all ammunition ships and all gasoline tankers must head to sea." You young people that have never heard me tell this, I hope you realize that we had just had the thrill of knowing we were going home. We had just had the wonderful news, it's all over. Japan has surrendered. We're going home. We had been away a long, long, long time. I had been away from a family, from my wife, and from the Christians. And I want to say to you teenagers tonight, if God ever allows you to be separated from God's people, you will learn a lesson that you'll never learn any other way. That they're the best on earth. That they're the only people that are really the salt of the earth. And they should be the only real companions for you. And I felt very bad about being sent out, though I didn't realize how bad it really was going to be. And he said, "We won't be going to the big general ships, the transports to go home, we're going out." And he said, "I want to tell you something. We're loaded with gasoline, this tanker's down to its gunnels. It's down to the very water's edge." We went out to sea. At about midnight until 4 a.m, the storm hit that ship. The ship began to toss and fight in the waves. The LSDs began to send out their SOS as they went down one by one in the harbors. No one was there to pick up the boys. No one was there to save them, and it wasn't SOS, save our lives, it was save our souls. No one was there to tell them of the Lord Jesus now, to preach to them, to win them to Christ. One by one the ships went down, and we listened to the calls coming in on the radio, and we had all we could do to stay afloat ourselves. And the typhoon hit that ship, The waves came one over another over the bow and buried her until it seemed as though she were going down. And a call came down to the engine room, and the captain said, "I want Bill Morgan to come up here to the passageway. I can't fight this storm any longer. We're going to let this ship turn. And when this ship turns in the trough of the next wave, we're going down." I'll never forget standing in the passageway of that ship with boys with their life jackets on. Already water had broken in through all the hatches and doors. Standing waiting to die. I want to say to you young people tonight, if you think that God didn't talk to me, you got another thing coming. Because I heard the Lord that night. The Lord said, "Bill Morgan, you want to go home?" And I said, "Lord, I want to go home more than anything else in the world. Are you going to let me?" There came to me the thoughts of what I had been at home, where I had worked, the time I had spent for the Lord, the time I had spent for myself, my life as a young believer. It was like a movie projector showing you the whole thing. Then the Lord said, "If you were going to go home, Bill Morgan, what would it be like?" Did you ever want something bad enough to make a lot of promises? You know, I'm glad the Lord is gracious. I'll bet I promised the Lord everything you could think of tonight and everything you could think of this next whole week. I promised Him everything. "Lord, I want to go home." Now I'll never forget that night. Standing in the passageway praying with the boys, the ship slowly began to turn. The next wave came through with that tremendous storm and caught that 10,000-ton ship and turned her right over on her side. And the waves buried her. And it seemed like eternity. And by the grace of God, that ship turned and came up again. Came up on her side, floating with the storm, and for about the 3 hours of the four of that terrific typhoon, every wave pushed her, every wave buried her. At one time, the life rafts were already gone. The lifeboats were swinging out on the davits, and every time they came back, they were bashing in the side of the ship. And the captain said to a little fellow, "You get out there and cut that lifeboat loose." He said, "Captain, I'll never get back." The captain said, "That's an order. You cut that lifeboat loose." The officer sat at the top of the ladder in the engine room when we went back down to keep the ship afloat with guns in their laps, just waiting for us to try to move out of there. I saw the boys that had blasphemed the name of God, that had swore and cursed even in the services that we tried to have, that gambled away their pay from one payday to the next, on their knees on the floor of that engine room in the oil, crying, "God save us, God save us." I'll never forget that. You'll never tell me that a man doesn't believe that he has a precious soul. You'll never convince me that when a man gets into the place where he knows he's going into eternity, he doesn't turn to God. Then why not turn tonight? Why not come just as you are, as you sit here comfortably, silently, in the presence of God, and not wait till the time He calls you into eternity when it will be forever too late? Why won't you come tonight? They wanted to turn now to God. They cried to God. God in His mercy allowed that ship to be carried in the typhoon. If you get a hold of a book that has been written by Admiral Halsey of the typhoon, I believe he mentions in his book, as well as others, if you ever let the ship turn and be carried in the eye of the storm, you're a goner. It will go down. And the only answer to it is this: God didn't let it go down. God didn't let that ship sink because He had a boy on that ship He wanted to bring home. And that boy was me. And I thank God tonight that the God that has taken care of each one of us and you is still the God of heaven and on the throne. And the God of heaven is speaking to us tonight. God talked to me. And God told me a lot of things that I haven't told you. And I'll remember them as long as I live. Let me ask you, has God spoken to you? It took us 2 weeks to get back to the harbor. They finally had to send out a couple tugs to drag the ship in. Drums of oil were lifted from the deck and bashed into the sides and smashed. I never did tell you about the little fellow. The captain got so mad at him, he went out too and he said, "Let me have that." They were using a wrench to knock open. It's supposed to be a safety lock that knocks open the lifeboats so they can be let down. And it wasn't one man or these man-made safety devices that didn't let go. And he was out there hitting it. And when the captain went out, the ship went over on her side and the next wave came over us and buried the poor fella. And I tell you, it seemed like we had lost him. I almost had a good convert there. It took a long time to shake the captain. He was a very ungodly young man. And I say to you, when God begins to talk and things begin to happen, men listen. Why won't you listen tonight? Why won't you listen? It won't be a burning bush tonight. It won't be an altar with an animal on it and fire coming down from heaven through this building. But God of heaven has said in the verse I read to you that His Son is the message. And the message tonight to you is this. A person is standing with arms outstretched and he's saying, "Won't you be my child? Won't you come home? Won't you come to me with all your sin? Just as you are, won't you put your trust in me as your Savior? I'll be your Savior. I'll love you. I'll keep you. I'll walk with you. I'll talk with you. I'll come back from heaven one day and I'll catch you up to meet me in the air with all other believers if you don't die first. And if you do pass through the article of death, I'll come and meet you. And I'll take you home to a heaven I'm preparing for you. And all eternity you'll be with me and share with me the glories of heaven. And you'll never be in hell. And you'll never weep and wail in a lost eternity." God is saying, "Will you listen to me? All the voices around you are calling. Education's calling you. All the ideas of men are calling you. All those relatives that are unsaved are watching you, and they have a hold on you. You may be a young man or a young woman tonight, and you love a friend who isn't saved, and he's holding you tonight. And the devil has a grip on you that only the Lord can break. And if you let that unsaved companion talk you out of God's salvation, one day as you weep and wail in a lost eternity, you'll say in your heart, 'Oh, why? Why did I listen? Why didn't I listen to the voice of God?' Will you come tonight? Will you visit Calvary again and see the Lord Jesus dying for you? Will you hear Him say, 'It is finished'? Will you believe the word of God? 'He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.'" Look at the Lord tonight as He waits for you. A little boy, a little girl, a daddy, a mother here tonight. Will you come? Come just as you are. Could we sing in closing, "Just as I am"? Would you come up, please, brother? "Just as I am, without one plea."